hope you enjoyed this day. I think it was very interesting. We are very sorry Professor Steinberg couldn't come this evening. But we have two other... we have with us Rabbi Dr. Halperin, which you have met, and Dr. Perel from the ER here in Shaare Tzedek.
We'll
start in a minute.
אני לומד על הרקע, אני לא משתמשים באנגלית לא מעט.
Good evening. While Rav Halperin is arranging his lecture, if it is a lecture, you know, we are here to speak about the definition of death. Huh? For both of us, our Mameloshen is Hebrew, but we'll do our best with English. We'll try to understand all your questions, and hopefully you'll understand all what we are saying. But I think it's important to say beforehand that it's amazing to think about the fact that today, Tavshin Ayin, hey, Tavshin Ayin, 5,700 and so years after creation, we are still debating the definition of death. Because death is something that humanity has had to define thousands of years ago. In the beginning of Chumash Bereshit, Chazal say that when Cain killed Hevel, he had a big question how someone dies. No one died before Hevel. And he tried to stab him in a few places, and Rashi brings Chazal, as you all know, that he looked for the place where the soul comes out from. So the question is there from the beginning of the world, and we're still debating about the question of who is defined as being dead. And I know that in the Western world, maybe people have a strong opinion about brain death as being defined as death. But here in Israel, as I will do my best to have you find out, and I suppose Dr. Halperin, which we never spoke together, it's always that I had some things or Dr. Halperin before me. But you'll see that in Israel, the question is a real question, is a very practical question. Because there is a very important part of the Rabbanian opinions, which all know that it's that Rav Eliashiv, but there are also many other Rabbanim that hold like Rav Eliashiv does. And Bezrat Hashem will always have to hold that way. Think their brain death does not define death. And that makes the question of defining death a very problematic question, because as you understand, in Israel, there could be, and there are many people that are defined dead by some of the Rabbonim, and are defined alive by others. And if you think about the consequences of such a debate, you will understand that for some Rabbonim, this patient is dead. You can't do anything for him. You can't save a dead person. You can't be Mechalel Shabbat for him. You can't do anything for him. If you have a Kohen, you have to throw him out of the hospital because there's too much meth in the hospital. There are many There are many consequences of such a debate, and that they are all very practical. Besides the issue of donating organs, just on the basis of everyday work in the hospital, this debate comes into a practical issue every day in many hospitals with many families. And many families don't even know to decide who they should ask, when should they ask. So for us working in hospital, this is not just a philosophic question, it is not just a question that we deal with just for learning the issue, it's a question that we deal with on a practical basis every day. Okay, so I assume Rav Halperin will bring you all the sources of that deal with the question. But after the sources, after learning the sources, after understanding the different quotations of Chazal in this question, on the bottom line, we have our poskim, we have the poskei ador whom we ask, and we get their opinion about what to do. And even after understanding and learning all the sources, you should all know that in Israel today, there are a good amount of people that do not define brain death as death, and some do. And then, and okay, I assume that the sources will be brought to you by Rav Halperin. If you have questions, we'll leave it to the end.
No, maybe I'll sit on the chair. Will happen again. I'll try.
Okay.
Let's see.
When we're dealing with the question of brain death, we have to know.
Hold on. I just want to apologize, I might have to answer from during my lecture, so you'll forgive me if it will happen, okay? I have to apologize for the fact that the slides are in Hebrew. I didn't intend to show you slides in this lecture, because when I thought that Professor Steinberg would be here, so I wouldn't have time to present the presentation. But when I found out he's not there, so I decided, okay, I'll give a presentation, but the one that I had in my pocket, in the small disc on key, was in Hebrew. Okay. I think it's good to... Can you close the light this row? There is a way. Very good. Great. Okay. We're talking about two types of death. Cardiovascular death and brain death. Who is Chabadnik among you? Who comes from Chabad family? Only three, four? Okay. Okay. This is one of the great rabbis of Chabad in this country. He passed away less than a year ago. He had severe disease in his lung, and he needed lung transplantation, and was a donor, a woman donor, which her lung fits his body. This lady got herself kidney transplantation a few years before, and then the family of this lady were divided. Some of them, maybe most of them, agreed to let her be a lung donor after she was in the state of brain death. A few of them were against because of halachic reasons. And I remember I got the question about it. It was Thursday, 1 o'clock in the evening. I told them what I know about it, which means there are three shitot, three views among the leading halachic authorities in this country. And about an hour afterwards, 2 o'clock in the morning, her heart stopped and there was no more chance to use her lung to save his life. And this is his name. And Dover Chabad told the press, "Anachnu lo mishuchnayim, you are not convinced, shenasta kan bdika hilchatit retzinit, it was a real serious halachic checking by the Rav, the member, the family consulting in this issue." Okay, this is what he said. He's right or not, you can never say. And he was asked then, the Dover Chabad, "Why didn't you try to talk with the Rav, to tell him, to inform him?" And he answered, "Hitchilu lif'ol ba'inyan rabbanim ufuskei halacha." Some rabbis and halachic scholars started to treat the issue, but it was too late because the woman niftera, she died, which means before she was alive. I don't know. Yom Chamishi, 2 o'clock at night, and then it was impossible to use her lungs anymore. That's just the case. She won't tell you. It doesn't mean anything. If taking a lung from a patient, a person who is in a state of brain death, is considered murder, there is no heter whatsoever to you to take and to kill him, to murder. We learned before, one of the three great avirot that yareg val yavor is shfichut damim. So it's a question. If somebody in a state of brain death is considered as dead person, then it's a mitzvah to take. If it's considered as a living person, it's yareg val yavor and should not be done. What happened in case like we are here, that there is a great controversy among the leading scholars of the country? How can you pass kan halacha? And especially remember that Bishel Torah, the Gemara states that in question, machloikis, in issues of prohibition that are from Torah origin, you're going according to the one who's in the strict side. I don't know what's the strict side over here, but that's the idea. At least don't do things. And the Chazon Ish writes, what the more means that whenever you have controversy, you have gone to, or if it's in the issue of prohibition from Torah origin, you are going achar ha-machmir, going to the strict side. It's only when no one of the rabbis who arguments are your rabbis. Because if one of them is your rabbis, אבל אם אחד מן החכמים הוא רבו, הלך should go after him, אף להקל, even for the easy side. ומיקר רבו, what's רבו? Because it's right. כל שהוא קרוב לו, ושומע שמועותיו תמיד, ברוב המצוות. Sometimes could be that there are certain things that he ask other rabbonim and accept their view. Whatever, רוב המצוות, he's following his רוב, then he should listen to him, even להקל. And that's true, ben בחיי החכם, when this חכם is alive, ben לאחר מותו, when כל שידוע תורותיו, whenever you know his ruling, בהלכותיו, זבחות, מפי תלמידיו או מפי ספריו, from his תלמידים or from his books. והינם רשאים, they are permitted, להלוך אחר רבם, אף להקל בשל תורה, you can follow him even the easy side from Mitzurim, the question of Torah origin. Vafilu, and even Cholkim alav hem harabim, even if the rabbis who disagree with his rov, his teacher, his rov, if there are many and he's only one. As long there is no Mushab Bidin and the halacha is accepted, and you bring some proofs from the Gemara. So, some marks to know what's happening over here. As I told you, there are three different opinions. There is one opinion that brain death, when we mean usually the death of the stem of the brain, it's considered as brain death and death. It's one opinion. Who holds that opinion is today Rav Ovadia Yosef, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, and the chief rabbi Rav Amar, Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, and the late Rav Ram Shapira, and the late Rav Shaul Israeli, and some others. They hold that brainstem death is considered death according to the halacha. On the other side, there is Rav Osner, Yibadel Lechaim, and Rav Waldenberg Zatzal, and most probably Rav Eliyoshiv also. I say most probably because it's not so simple. You might hear later some of his words about it, and I'll show you what he signed about it, which is not so easy to understand. They hold that if somebody is in a state of brain death, is considered as a living person, is alive, not dead. And there is a third shita of Reb Shlom Zalman Auerbach, that he holds that if all the brain, all the cells of a brain are dead, the person is considered as dead. If not all of them are dead, or I'm not sure that all of them are dead, then it's considered as a doubt case. Safek met, safek goses. It's not a regular person who is alive, but you are a dead person or a person who is goses. This is the opinion of Shlom Zalman Auerbach. And then we go back to the history. 22 years ago, Chief Rabbinate signed a Psak Halacha, which you see the first page over here. I'll just try to read so we'll see. Moetzet Rabbanut Rashit in her Bishivata Hayom, Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, accepted Pe'echad. Of the recommendation of a special committee which was created by the chief rabbis, and the declaration, the first paragraph is the history of that special committee. Second paragraph is the difference between what was 17 years before that Moshe Feinstein ruled that heart transplantation is double murder, and the changes in the situation and his understanding of the case. The third paragraph is because the question is related to Pikuach Nefesh. You can't go to the strict side just because you have a doubt, because each side is strict side in certain understanding. And then four, Bistamech, relying on the Gemara and Yuma, and the Chasam Sefer Shin Lamed Ches, that death is whenever the breathing stops, irreversible. That's the idea. So, and usually the irreversibility is confirmed by the stopping of the heartbeat for a while, but today you can confirm the irreversibility of the cessation of the breath by proving that there is brainstem death. And then there are some conditions which they wrote, which for a long time all these conditions were not accepted by the medical community.
And this is, in general, they added some more examination to confirm the death, not only clinical examination, but also instrumental examination, like brain auditory verbal response, and this other new tests which can be done today, like SPECT, like TCD, transcranial Doppler, and others. That's very interesting letter, which is very important to say a few words about it. It's from Moshe Feinstein's letter. When the chief rabbinate decided that according to Moshe Feinstein, brain death is considered as death, they didn't have this letter in front of them. It was just the way of understanding a tshuva of Moshe Nigrosh Moshe in Yoredei Chelegim and Siman Kuf Lamed Beis. And there was a great controversy about how to learn pshat in the tshuva of Moshe. But this tshuva, to Dr. Bondi, he writes that Harvard criteria, whenever the breath stops irreversibly, even though the heartbeat can continue for a few days, it's considered as death. If you want to see it, see over here. והנה אף שהלב עדיין יכול לדחוף לכמה ימים, even though the lev can still push for a few days, מכל מקול כל זמן, nevertheless, as long שאין לחולה כוח נשימה עצמאית, it cannot breath spontaneously, נחשב כמת. He's considered as dead, כבכי דיברתי, as I explained, בתשובתי, באגרות משה, יורדיה, third volume, סימן, 132. You can see this shuva that it's printed. You can see Rav Moshe's signature down on the bottom and his stamp. When he gave this shuva, he was not in a condition that he could write the shuva in his handwriting in Hebrew. He gave this shuva in Yiddish, and one of his talmidim translated it to Hebrew, typed it on the blank of Moshe Feinstein and gave it to him. And Moshe Feinstein read it word by word from the beginning till the end. Then he added his signature and he himself put the stamp on the paper. Why I'm telling you? Because some people ask Dr. Bondi, who received this letter, if Moshe Feinstein was in a state that he could write tshuvos on those days. The answer, his true answer was that he could not. He could not write his answer, but he could give his answer in Yiddish and read the translation and accept it or not accept it. And this is what happened in this case. More than that, we have a letter of his son, David Feinstein. Let's read just the two lines on the bottom. Levirur advarim. He's telling his father's opinion. אם הוא שוכב כמת, if he's lying like a dead person, ואין בו שום תנועה, no movement, including breathing, אף שהלב פועם, even though the lev is beating, מאחר שאינו נושם, because he's not breathing, הוא כמת גמור, he's right, and he had, I added it ליתר בירור, that nobody would try to learn different pshotim in what I wrote above. Nevertheless, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as I told you, had different shita in between the three shitas. This is one of the letters that he wrote to Dr. Shulman, Dr. Bobby Shulman in Bor Park. He's an internist. He's an expert in internal medicine and endocrinology. He wrote, "V'adayin ani chushev, even though..." And I want to tell you that I didn't change my opinion, as it's written in Asya Elul Tafshinun Daled, which is an article of Dr. Steinberg, which we're missing today. And Pshol Zalman told me about the article of Dr. Steinberg, that this is the best expression of his opinion. It's in Asya. And he writes that it still has, every case of brain death practically has a suffix, sofek goises, and you're allowed to move a goises, and of course you're not allowed to take part from his body from transmutation. Not like the chief rabbinate and the list of poskim which I've mentioned before. Now, it's very interesting, again about Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion. Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion was very interesting. The fact that a person could be considered as dead even though his heart is beating, it's already written in the Mishnah in Masechet Ohalot, first Perek, I think it's Mishnah Vav, Zayin, and the Mishnah writes over there that the person is not metame. You know, the dead person is metame. Kohen is allowed to enter to under the same roof where a dead body is there. You know, the Tumas Meis. So when a person is metame, Mishnah writes, Adam ino metame ad shetetze nafsho. A person is not metame until his neshama leaves him. Okay, when is that? Vafilu miguyad, even though his veins are cut and he's bleeding and you cannot stop the bleeding and you know that in 2-3 minutes he's going to die, but right now he's standing here and giving you a lecture. Vafilu guses, guses is a case that he has water in his lungs and his breathing is it's very noisy breathing, and in those days most of the cases, rov gosesim lemita, within 72 hours. Today, Dr. Pearls know how to treat the gosesim and to bring them back to life. So if we don't have gosesim anymore, you give them some Lasix and some other medication, and the lungs dry. It's a miracle. He's the expert. But in those days, in the case of severe heart problems, heart insufficiency, and the lungs were filled with water, and a person would die within 72 hours. But still, he's considered as a living person. Sheyachol, he might live. Only most of these people used to die. Some used to live, so it's considered as a living person. That's the way the Vilna Gaon explains it in his parish to the Mishnah. But the Mishnah adds, if somebody's head was chopped off, even though he's running. I heard that some people, after they were in the guillotine, their head was chopped. If they were not tied, they used to walk a few meters. But his heart can also beat a few minutes until his blood would be lost. The Mishnah says, and the Mishnah brings an example, that movement is not always a sign of a living creature. I know in America they don't have it, but most of the children in this Israel had experience of catching the tail of the lizard. The lizard leaves you the tail, and if you leave on the ground, you see the tail shivering. It doesn't mean that this tail is a creature. Okay? So not always movement is a sign of life. This Mishnah says, so the question is, we have now two reasons why to accept brain death as death. One reason because of cessation of breathing. Another reason because if all the brain is dead, so it's like somebody that his head was chopped off. So Shlomo Zalman did not accept the fact that he's not breathing as death, but he himself accepted that if all the brain cells are dead, it's like hutaz rosho. It's exactly as the Mishnah as we heard. But he said, when the physicians are telling us that he's brain dead, I'm not sure, it's for me a doubt. And that's why it's a sofek meis, sofek krisis. So of course you're not allowed to take from him any organ, because if he is a goises, you are killing him. A goises, kechai lechol gavar, is treating already with more. Okay, so this is what Rav Shlomo Zalman told Professor Abraham, and he wrote it in the first edition of his Nishmat Avraham, and then something happened.
in the newspapers, everybody could read about a case. A woman was in a state of brain death. She was a pregnant woman in her 24th week of pregnancy. And they kept her so-called alive. She was brain dead. They kept her heart beating and gave her food by Zonda and kept her blood pressure for something between 4 to 6 weeks until something like her 28th, 30th week. And then by cesarean section, they took away, they gave birth to a living, healthy child. So, Shlomo Zalman had a problem. Because in the Gemara, in Masechet Arachin, it's written that always when the woman and the child are getting on the slippery slope toward death, the baby is dying first. So if the baby dying first, and I can prove that the baby is alive, it's proved that the mother is also alive. Right? Agree? So he says, okay, it's proof that I had a mistake. It's not a sophic mace. Sophic goises is vadai, not mace. This is what he thought after he heard it. So at the same time that he changed his mind, a very known rabbi in the States said in Shlomo Zalman's name that brain death is death. Principally, it was correct. Practically, it was completely incorrect. And he also said that he accept organ donation from brain death, which was incorrect completely. So the Vader of Bonim of Agudas Torah sent a few rabbis to this country to check with Shlomo Zalman what he really holds. And these rabbis came when Shlomo Zalman was, after he changed his mind and he accepted that brain death, it's not a sophic mace, sophic goises, is Vader not mace. Because of the case of the woman. So when he heard this Rabbonim, together with Rav Elyoshiv, he signed a Gilui Daat, which was printed a few weeks later. It was signed in Menachem Av, Chodesh Av, and it was published on Tishrei, Tavshin Nun Beis. Nitbakashnu legalot daateinu, that even there is brain death, She'en shum eter, there is no permission whatsoever to see af echad meivarav, to take any of his organs. Ve'yesh baze mishum shfichut damim. It's exactly as murder. If you see on the date that the decision of Chief Rabbinate was on Tafshin Memzayin, this was almost 5 years afterwards. During these 5 years, he didn't want to publish any of his psukim against the Chief Rabbinate. Over here, when he heard that they're saying in his name different, and it was time that he even changed his mind, this was the first Gilui Daat, Shlomo Zalman Oibach, Yosef Shalom Elyoshiv. It's in Amudia, it's in Yatid. So, then discussed with some physician, they told him that there is no reason for him to draw back from his understanding. Why? Because even if you'll take a woman which had cut and put her in the ICU unit, the fetus will continue to grow, and if the head is cut off, almost everybody, Shamzam of course, Yoshiv also, that is considered as dead. So you ask them, when was the last time that a woman without a head was in the ICU? They told him it never happened. They told him, it's theory. You can't prove me anything from theory. So told him, how can we prove it to you? Tell him, okay, take a sheep, pregnant sheep. Cut her head. See what happens after half an hour. If the fetus will still be alive, I'll have to change back to my first opinion, and I'll explain the Gemara that what really happens there is without the IC unit, then the fetus dies first. But when you have ICU unit, the women can die first. Okay. So this was Menachem Av, published on Tishrei, and in Teves, 4 months afterwards, they did it twice.
that case with a sheep, pregnant sheep, cut her head off, and healthy fetus came out. In the second case, first case, he was alive for about half an hour. Then it was a deterioration in her, in the fetus condition. Second case, healthy fetus came out. So Shom Zalman draw back from his change to his first opinion that brain death is Sofek Meis, Sofek Goises. But he writes it's equal to killing. It's not equal to killing. So a few months after Teivet, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, Iyar, the beginning of Iyar, Nitbakashnu legalot da'ateinu, and then he writes same thing, Ein heter im kol ze. Ein shum heter lotzi af echad min evarav, in order to take any of his organ of a brain death patient. V'yesh baze, what does it say? Yesh baze what? Hashash, doubt. See, one word, great difference. You're not allowed to do it, but it's not equal to killing, okay? As I told you before, Hara Vosner, Hara Waldenberg, they wrote articles, they published the view that brain death is nothing. And I'm going to make short, about 2 years ago, Rav Yosef agreed that brain death is considered death. And over here, you see Professor Steinberg. You didn't see him before. I'll show it to you. This is Professor Steinberg. This is Rabbi Safran. This is Rav Amar, the chief rabbi. And this is Rav Yosef. It's on the day that Knesset had to vote on the bill of brain death. He told the Shas, vote for it. It's not a simple bill. This bill is written that if somebody do not accept brain death, you should continue treating him with a breath machine. But if somebody do accept brain death, it's considered death, it's not a killing. And over here, you can see the letter of Rav Amar, who wrote after that meeting, and Rav Yosef wrote below, that he agreed to everything that Rav Amar wrote is on its regarding his opinion. Okay, so we have few opinions. We have Rav Waldenberg Zatzal and Ibadlu Lechaim, Rav Osner, and most probably Rav Yoshiv. I say most probably because remember, Rav Yoshiv also signed the second Gilui Da'at of Shlomo Zalman. See, the second Gilui Da'at okay, got stuck. I don't see a signature, but you saw it before. It's written Chashash. It's signed by Shom Zalman and Rabbi Yoshiv. So if he signs his Chashash, means he agrees with Shom Zalman, not with Rav Osner. We might hear soon that he agreed to Rav Osner. That's why I say most probably he agrees to Rav Osner, but according to what we saw, it's not so simple. So we have three opinions. It's not a simple issue. And I think we should hear now. I gave you the objective part of the lecture. I give you all the three methods. Now Dr. Pearl will give you Sakalocha, if you heard.
Let's see your question. Well, what do you know about brain death?
Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll pick up a few questions. What do you know about brain death?
If any of you had any questions that were related to brain death, did you? Any of you are students in medical school? What?
None
of you.
Tell us, Tim, tell us, Tim.
if you're, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this discussion. How many of you were ever related to anyone who had to make up his mind about deciding about brain death? And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the fact that in the States, I assume that, I don't know if anyone of physicians or of, I don't know, post-team in the States that hold that brain death is not considered as death. But if you know some medical history, if anyone would even think that someone with a beating heart is considered dead 50 years ago, he would be in jail. So until 1968, no one would even think that you could stop treating someone who his heart is still beating. So as a fact, as a historical fact, it has to be something that changed people's mind. And of course, one of the important things that happened is that people learned how to move, how to donate, how to transplant organs from one to another. And there are some organs that you cannot transplant from someone whose heart is not beating anymore. The most important organ is the heart itself. Heart transplantation could not be done if the donor's heart is not beating anymore. So that's the most important organ. Someone says lungs. Lungs could be transplanted even if the heart stopped beating, but it's much more easier if it's done while the heart is still beating. You have more time. If you deal with a person that his heart stopped beating, you have to be very fast to do it, but you can do it. But since the world, the general world, holds today that brain death is death, you can take your time. And if someone crashed into a car accident and he's brain dead, you have time. You know how long you have for a person from his brain death until his heart stops beating? Okay, none of you are even into news. You have usually 10 to 14 days, in some cases 3 weeks. You have time. So someone is lying down, lying there in the intensive care unit. He's intubated, okay? He's ventilated. He's not breathing because he's brain dead. He cannot breathe. He's ventilated. His eyes are open sometimes. He does not respond to anything. His heart beats. He has a blood pressure. He has a nice pink color, he looks nice, and he's dead, if you think that brain death is dead. So this dead person could be a donator of organs for the time until his heart stops beating. So if someone is comfortable about it, he has 2 weeks to look for someone who could accept his organs. That's why it was so important for the world to change the definition. I'm not saying that that's the reason the definition should be changed, but that was historically the reason why the world was so anxious about changing the definition. And with time, more and more places in the world, in the Western world, accept the fact that that brain death is death, and that does not change halachic minds, right? That only changes the world's opinion about death. But still, although there are many sources to look after and to learn, as Alperin quoted, there are still a few opinions, rabbinical authorities, halachic authorities that hold differently, one from another, about organ donations. But as I said before, it's not only relevant to donations. We had here 6 years ago a nice 24-year-old lady who collapsed in the street. She was brought to the emergency room. She was unconscious. She still had a beating heart. She was unable to breathe by herself. She was ventilated. She was put into the ward. She was there for 4 days, no response. The family brought a neurologist from another hospital, maybe to give him his advice. And I came with him to examine the lady, and he examined her. And there are a few tests that you do to the brainstem to see if there is any response of any signs that the brain is still responding to anything, and there was no response.
So the neurologist told me, this person is dead. You're taking care of a dead person. You know that? I was surprised by his sure opinion. And he even went to the family and told them that he is sorry to tell you that Shaare Tzedek Hospital treat cadavers. That was his opinion. But it took a few days until this patient collapsed hemodynamically and her heart stopped beating. And these days, there was Shabbat. Shabbat was part of these days. So we were actually treating. We were being Mechalel Shabbat. We were writing, drawing blood, doing all kinds of actions which you probably learned about today on Shabbat. We were putting on electricity, taking care of the ventilator, doing all kinds of actions which Chilul Shabbat is part of them. For this patient who we considered as alive, he considered as dead. And these patients, they are only becoming more and more often because we can take more care about patients who crashed into a car accident or for any reason are now brain dead. So since I knew about this debate, and I knew that Rav Eliashiv's opinion was also in doubt, some people say he holds like this, we went to ask his opinion, and he did not know. We took a tape with us to hear him again and again to make sure we understood what he said. But after we had him on the tape, I also have that tape with me here. And it's not that someone is here to convince you about anything. I just want you to be sure that you do know that there are poskim that hold that as long as your heart is beating, you are alive. And I am sure that Rav Eliashiv holds that as long as someone's heart is still beating, he is still alive. More than that, he even holds that even if the heart is not beating anymore, meaning if you look for a heartbeat, if you look for blood pressure, if you look for any sign of the activity of the heart, it will be impossible for you to feel the activity of the heart. If there is electric activity of the heart, still this person is alive. If you know from the movies, people on the monitors go beep, beep, beep. For Rav Eliashiv, that's life. Even if there's no brain response. And that's very different than what happens in hospitals. So I don't know if you're familiar with anything that goes on in hospitals, but in hospitals, you see people lying down, not responding, the monitor is working very nice, beep, beep, 60 a minute, the blood pressure is 120 over 80, and the doctor comes in the morning and says to the family, we're sorry, he's brain dead, we're turning off the machine. And that's what people do in hospitals in the States and all over the world. So if you're not familiar with it, I hope you will never be familiar with it. But it's important for you to understand what is the state of art today about the definition of death.
Yes?
So if you want to see, it's a 2-minute, we didn't photocopy him, we just have the voice.
אנחנו באים בשם כמה רופאים בשערי צדק בעניין כמעט מוות. אנחנו רוצים רק לברר שוב, כל עוד הלב פועם חייבים להתייחס כגוי פיוס לכל הפחות. יותר מזה אפילו בוודאי שהוא חי או שזה בגדר שאנחנו מתייחסים כך.
היום לא ראה אומר, אם תהיה גייסט זה יותר, דרגה יותר חמורה.
מי לב פועם?
לא יותר. אנחנו חושבים כתוב, שום נגיע בו, נגיע בו, אבל זה נפיך את הדברון היו.
יש בזה דרגות, יש אפילו שלא מרגישים את הלב פועם, אבל אם מחברים את המכשירים, עוד יש סימני חשמל. גם אז, אפילו שאין...
אז להתחיל לקרוא, ברור, אם האנשים שלי נגעת היום בעיר המחשבה
שניקח מת מן הקבר לא היו כאילו
חשמלי. אני כאן כאילו הייתה תיוי כאילו לא היה שום כאילו לא היה בעיר.
נכון.
מסתובב, מה מלא? יש לי נחילה. אבל אנחנו לא יכולים לקרוע, כפי יכולים לשמד.
אז עכשיו אנחנו שואלים, לפעמים קוראים לנו, ואנחנו רואים ניצל כמת, לא נושם, למדנו את הגמורה בג'ומק, אז שם רואים שאם רואים שלא נושם, אני לא צריך לבדוק יותר. למה לא אמרו לבדוק גם את הלם? אם כבר לא נושם, אפשר להפסיק? למה לא...
אתה נראה את דברי החיים בעיקר.
אחרי שכוונת הגמורה שאחרי שבדקו שהלב מפסיק. אז אם כך, כשאנחנו רואים מישהו לא נושם ואין דופק, צריך לחבר את המכשיר לבדוק אם יש חשמל?
אז כן, חבר ניסיתי את הקרובים. אם יש איזה שופט, אם זה יכול לפעול?
החשמל יכול לפעול, אין לנו...
מה קורה? החשמל הזה...
זה משהו.
זה חשוב. אז כאן זה יכול להפעיל את הלב. ומי יעבר, אם יעבר, אז יש חשמל.
זה ברור.
אז מי, זה שאלה יחיות, אז זה שלום.
וההבנה בזה זה כשכל זמן שהלב פועל, סימן שבמוח עדיין יש פעילות, או שזה לא קשור? לא, לא, לא. הלב כלב הוא סיבת החיים. הוא סיבת החיים.
I'm sure it's not easy to understand
everything.
Words, that's why we listened again and again and we wrote down the words as we understood them, and we were a few people just to make sure that we were all fully understanding what he answered.
So according to Rabbi Yasha, if you can develop some sort of test, perhaps inject a contrast agent when the person, if you're not sure, have you done an apnea test? And somehow the test can show that there's possibly no blood flow to the brain whatsoever. I don't know how good the tests are nowadays, but in the future, if some tests are developed like that,
again, I tell you, you're going again to prove that someone is brain dead. Okay, you want more than brain dead.
I'm asking if that's Huta, if that's considered Huta's Rosha, according to.
Okay, that, as the Rabbi Purim said, that's another way of defining death. Huta's Rosha, cutting the head off the person, is for sure death. But Huta's Rosha is just like the word means. Hutaz is cutting the head. Even if you break C3, C4, you break your vertebra, you break, you even cut down all the nervous system that goes down through the vertebra. Even if you cut some of the neck organs, it's still not considered death until it's Hutaz Rosho. So even if there is no blood flow to the brain, it's a chidush to say that it's like Hutaz Rosho.
No. I don't know, because the Hutaz Rosho, it's part of the Mishnah in our lot. And the more in Chulin, the more adds to it, Nishbera Mafreket Verov Basar Ima, which means it considers Hutaz Rosho even though the head is not cut completely from the body, even though Nishbera Mafreket Verov Basar Ima. Some of the basar is still there. And there is another example in the Gemara over there. So I cannot say that only when the head is cut completely, it has the din of death. As Gemara says, it doesn't have to be complete cut of the neck.
But in most of the basar has to go with it.
Nishbira mafreket verov basar ima.
You have a broken dents, and you have most of the flesh of the neck cut with it. Which is
I'm just saying it's a chidush to define new ways of defining death. Rabbi Yosef only holds that nothing changed, you know. Until 1968, if we saw someone collapse in the street, we would run to him. We would say, oh, he's not responding. Wake up, no response. Open your eyes, no response. Is he breathing? Not breathing. Take his pulse. Oh, there's a pulse. He's alive. That's what we hold. That's what most people in their first opinion hold. Okay? There's a pulse, he's alive. Now it's different. There's a pulse, no matter the pulse. We don't care about the pulse. We want to know if the brain is there. That's a chidush. You have to have a good
good reason to make this chiddush.
Not a question, just a point. You keep on referring to the fact something changed in the 70s, and then you point out that that's relevant to halacha, because a lot, and then you keep on going back to the fact that it used to be that everyone held a certain way, and therefore I don't understand why that's important, and I don't understand why the historical fact has any relevance to the halacha system either. I just wasn't sure why that kept on coming up.
No, you make a point. It does not make any difference if, for some reason, the halachic poskim have to make their opinion now about something that the opinion was already made years ago. And it's very common that we need poskim to make opinions about new technologies. It's not very common that we have to have poskim make their opinions because of questions that actually were there years ago.
Has there ever been a documented case where someone has been brain dead and came back to life and regained all the functions?
They claim that the case was not well defined as brain dead. You know anything else?
We know that all the strict conditions which the decision of the chief rabbinate insists, we don't know any case that all these conditions were met and the person came back to life. On the other side, we know many cases that heart cardiovascular death was determined and the patient was found out alive afterwards.
Yeah, but again, the cases that are reported as being brain dead and then found alive, most of them did not confirm brain death by confirmatory tests. That's what medical literature says, that if you define brain death with a confirmatory test, there are no cases of coming back to life. But again, that's not... You understand that that's not the question. The question is not if he will live. The question is if he is now alive. Because if someone is about to die, Eliyahu Navi comes and tells you, in 5 minutes, he'll die, for sure. You cannot touch him. You're killing him if you take anything away from him.
It's the Mishnah, Mishnah Avelos. Afilu Mguyad, Afilu Gosses.
What are the Makaros?
It's either going to the Chiddush of Utaz Rosho, or, more important, as Avraham Alperin said, the Makorot are not defining the brain as the important organ. They are defining breathing as the sign of death. Alright? Neshama, Neshima, that goes together. The Neshama is the power that makes us breathe. So if someone is unable to breathe, and his inability to breathe is irreversible, that's death according to the Pashtus of the Sugya in Yuma Pehe. Okay, that the Sugya in Yuma Pehe is a disaster, a building collapsed on someone on Shabbos, and you go to try to save his life, and you can save his life even with being Mechalel Shabbos, but if you find him dead, you stop. And the Gemara looks for a way to define this person under the collapsed building as dead. And the pastus of the Gemara is that if you see he is not breathing, you stop all the work to save him because he is dead. So that is the very important source for breathing as a reason for dying. Now if you move to the understanding of breathing, breathing is dependent on brain. So if you have a death of the brain, you're unable and you'll never be able to breathe.
It's only a specific part of the brain.
Right, the brainstem. But for halachic reasons, it's not that the brain is the reason for the death, but the brain is the only important organ that's responsible for the breathing, And if you lost the brain, you will not have breathing. So halachically, cessation of breathing is the reason for defining someone as dead. But if someone is brain dead, he's unable to breathe. That's the reason he's defined as dead.
I saw a presentation with the Chazon Ish that said you can only follow the idea that we go by as a suffix is only if your rabbi is not one of them. At this point, any rabbi posting is going to be referring back to one of these. No rabbi is in one of these shows, only referring back to one major post that's already spoken. So that any rabbi posting now is going to have to lead to a suffix if one of these posts is not his rabbi. Would that not be true?
I didn't understand your question.
The Chazon Ish that you started off with?
Chazon Ish says that if there is a controversy and there is among the poskim, if one of them is your Rebbe, you're allowed to follow him even when it's a question of severe prohibitions from Torah origin. Okay, this is what he writes. So for example, the Talmidim of Rav Ovadia Yosef. Rav Yosef, he has a lot of Talmidim. His Talmidim are allowed to follow him and to consider brain death as death. Okay? There is Talmidim of Rav Rosner, many Talmidim. They have to consider brain death as a living person, because this is their rabbi. Even if it will decide that he's in the minority, which this itself is not so simple. Okay? So what's the question?
So poskim are many people in this room poskim are not necessarily Talmidim of those people. How can they be machriya on this issue?
The best idea is to go to ask your rov. Every person, has to have a rov. You will have to ask your rov, and he will decide, according to the rules of halacha, what to give a psak. You will see what the poskim says, and if he's already on a higher degree, he will learn the sugya and have his own opinion, and then he'll go back to the poskim, and then he will decide how to paskin. But we don't mean that you should be the rov of yourself and give a psak. No, this doesn't. We don't mean that.
I was just wondering how can the rov be machriya between the major posts that already have spoken?
That's why he's rov. He has to learn. One, some part of studying to be a rov, it's not only your idea. It's also how to be machriya. Okay? And how much you have to know in order to be able to be machriya. And some rabboni will say, I can't be machriya. I don't know enough for it. That also could be, right?
Yeah.
At this point, what is Shari
Tzedek's view on this? Okay, Shari Tzedek, Shari Tzedek's poskim, Rav Noivir, Rosh Hashanah, and Shari Tzedek is under the supervision of the Eidah Haredit in Yerushalayim, and the decision in Shari Tzedek is that we do not define brain death as death. But if a family has someone close that is defined as brain death, and they accept the psak of Rav Ovadia Yosef, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and they feel it's important to donate his organ, then the hospital will make an effort to transfer this living or dead person, depends on the different period, to another hospital who will make the transplantation.
You're in the middle of a question? Okay, then we're going to move over to... Okay.
How will insurance, the Israeli insurance look at this issue in terms of, are they going to pay for somebody to just sit there for...
The law enables every family to make their decision upon to the deal of the Rabbonim they hold. So by law, the insurance will have to pay for whatever family's opinion is. They will pay. Is if someone is breathing with a ventilator, is he considered breathing, or is he considered a dead person who is being ventilated? That's what people who hold the brain dead is dead hold. They hold that this person is not breathing, his soul is not there anymore. You know, if we could find, if we all define death as the loss of the soul, okay? We all think, I hope none of you is materialistic, we all hold that death is defined by the neshama leaving the body. But it's not a physical thing that is happening. You cannot measure neshama. You can't measure it. If you have a way to measure neshama, then you will be defining death very easily. But we define, the only way we have to understand that neshama is still there is breathing by the Gemara. And therefore, when someone is being ventilated, the question is if once he is ventilated, he is made alive by the machine. That's not the way people that accept brain death as death hold. They hold that the person is dead, he's not breathing, and this is all technical games that hold his organs to be able to be transferred, but that's not something that defines them as living organs. You have a good question, but you know, I'll give you a better question. Why not take someone who is mentally retarded, who never enjoy things that other people enjoy, although he's 20 years old, but he can give life to 6-7 people, 2 lungs, 1 heart, 1 pancreas, 1 liver, 2 kidneys. So if you go into questions that try to say that it's worthwhile to kill someone in order to give another person life, then you're going way off. So if taking heart, a beating heart from someone is considered killing him, you might say that he only has 10 days to live, or 2 days to live, or 1 hour to live, but you're unable to kill someone to save someone else's life. So they would say, make more efforts to transplant organs from people whom their heart stopped beating. And I tell you, lungs, it's possible. Even heart might be possible. If technology would maybe do some more effort, then maybe we would find ourselves able to transplant heart that stopped beating only 5 minutes ago. But why would the world go and try to do such operations? As long as people believe their brain death is dead, there's no reason to wait until the heart stops beating, except for Rabbi Yashi.
Just one more sentence. About 20 years ago, a very interesting article was published in the BMJ, British Medical Journal, and they stated very sensitive issue. It's considered as completely not ethical to change the definition of death, not because of the interest of the patient that you are changing his definitions, just because of interest of others to receive his organs. It's completely not ethical. And remember, it's a very interesting article in the BMJ 20 years ago, so of course cannot be a reason to change definition just in order to save somebody else. One more point, I have to apologize. I thought that Dr. Pearl will give you only the Psak Halacha of Rabbi Yoshi. I saw that he gave the opinion of other Psakim as well, and just from different point of view than mine, which was very teaching, and I learned a lot from what he has said, which some things which I didn't notice before.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Just to clarify, before you mentioned that family would, if they would want to hold by brain death, you would transfer to another hospital. So if you do that, you would have to hold that it's a Vadai. It wouldn't be able to go to Israel.
Right.
Okay.
Rabbi Yoshi was asked about the person in Soroka and Be'er Sheva that was brain dead. The family wanted him to be transferred to Haifa, to Bet Chulim Carmel, because they were informed that he will probably be like that for 2 weeks. And Rabbi Yoshi said, okay, he's alive, you can move him.
Okay. If you have a patient that, let's say, has no pulse and the oxygen has been away from the brain, what are some of your views on the ethics of resuscitating a patient
that could end up being brain dead anyway, but at this point has no force.
That's a totally different question. Okay, that's a question of trying to bring back to life someone who is now maybe dead. Okay? That's another question of the chances of us being able to bring back his pulse to be beating, even though we think that he has severe brain damage. But that's a medical question. If you think this patient has a chance to live, you resuscitate. If you think no chance, you don't resuscitate. It's not a lot of questions. That's a medical question. Severely injured patient, you decide when you're there, upon your medical opinion, what are the chances of him being back to something? You cannot know how severe brain damage he has while taking care of him primarily. But it's a medical issue, it's not a local issue. You're right. There are no sources to... If you ask Rabbi Eliashiv what his source is, that's his opinion, because that's the way he thinks life is defined. Okay? In the Gemara, someone who is unable to breathe is dead only if he looks as a dead person. If you have people with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. You know the disease? Okay, it's a degenerative neurological disease. Gradually, you lose your motor function. Eventually, you lose the ability to breathe, but you're still intact. You can think, you understand, but you're unable to breathe. Irreversibly. Would you think that someone with ALS, who has come to the point where he's not able to breathe anymore, he can move his eyes, that's the only organ that usually still moves, he could be ventilated, he could be having a tracheostomy, meaning he has a tube into his lungs, he's able to respond, but he's not able to breathe, irreversibly. Would that be defined as dead? No. Although, by the definition of breathing, he's unable to breathe irreversibly. So, you have to, the Gemara also says, Rashi on the Gemara, if someone is under a building that collapsed, he's not moving, he looks like a dead person, and he's not breathing, he's dead. Rabbi Eliashiv says, someone who has a pulse, he doesn't even begin to look like a dead person. That's not a dead person. A dead person is not pink. He doesn't have a blood pressure of 120 over 80. So what if he's not breathing? But he doesn't look like a dead person. Only if someone is dead and you want to make sure he's dead, look if he's breathing. If he's not breathing, he's dead. But if someone doesn't look like someone who is dead, then I don't mind if he's not breathing and he will never breathe, he's still alive. But I tell you, if you go into sources, you will have a problem. You can't go into sources. You have to know there are important poskim that you would not want to find yourself debating with
yourself.
So you have to have a rab to debate with the poskim and to make his decision. But it's important to know the sources.
So thank you very much. I think already 5 minutes. Post date, post hour. We have to thank you very much for your question, for your listening, and I hope that you got something from this short day in Shaar Tzedek in the Schlesinger Institute. Thank you very much.
Rav Halperin and Dr. Pearl and Yael also. I want to say thank you for this fascinating day. And I'm sure I've got a lot of chomer lemachshava tonight, late at night, to talk about. And tuda rabba. So with that, we're going to go out straight now to the buses. The Shabbat trips are going to one bus, to our bus, to Aviram.
My question about the CPR, if there's no pulse, it's possible for index. On Shabbat, is that, how does that work? No pulse and